just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 439. My name is Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by Nicole Shiro, just all by herself. And that's the original group back together. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, and we stream this puppy live at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
To the gods.
To the gods.
It is Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. On the show today, we have our good friends, two sets of good friends, different stages. They're going to be talking about Member of the Wedding by Carson McCullers. And also later, we'll be talking to the Austin Theater Project and their show, The World Goes Around, the music of Candor and Ebb. And of course, we'll have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, London, Chicago, Athens, Cairo, and London, England. Don't go away.
And she's torn off guys, but if she came to camp, it'd be a surprise. Oh no.
Okay, this is kind of a fun song.
I didn't know it.
I didn't know it either. So this is that was from The Lightning Thief. Has anybody heard of The Lightning Thief? Any of you unnamed people that I haven't introduced yet?
Am I on?
Yeah, you are now. Oh, wow. You weren't until I pushed the button. What's that?
I knew they were getting ready for a musical version.
Well, it's actually it has played off Broadway. This was hold on. I wasn't prepared to actually talk about it at this point. So we're gonna hold that thought. I'll talk about it as soon as we can. But here's I have the whole Wikipedia page printed out.
Oh,
so
look
if you don't believe me. So before we went on the air, Nicole Shiro, we talked that you and I have not shared this microphone for quite some time.
No, not just like the
It's just the timing has been really bad.
Yeah, it's been
well, not only just the two of us, it hasn't
bizarro.
Been the three of us either. You and I haven't been together in a while. When I've not been here, you've not been here, zingity dingity dongity. But welcome. I'm glad you're here together.
Maybe because I've seen you before after the show or something else. That's
why I stopped by last week. But our thoughts go out to Nick Mayo, who's too busy for us right now.
I know.
He's got much more important things to do than
to
hang out with the likes of us.
You don't like us.
But he doesn't want to hang out with the likes of us. He don't blooming something or other. That's my audition for
Stinkaroo.
Liza Doolittle right there. And that's my version of Dick Van Dyke playing Eliza Doolittle.
I was like, Step in Time meets Liza Doolittle.
So
but you beat me to that.
I know, I did. So let's introduce the folks that are here. We
the
have
voices in the room.
Well, before I introduce everybody, I should say that Kim Simpson, another wonderful.
I love his show.
Latvia
I love
music.
Kim Simpson. I love Kim Simpson, and I love his show.
You know
I
who
really,
else loves Kim Simpson?
I really do.
His mom.
Yeah,
It's true. All right, we have Norman Blumensaat. Hi, Norman.
Hi.
We have Taylor Flanagan.
Hello.
Hello. We have Karen Jambon.
Hello.
And then over here, hold on, I got to turn the page to make sure I get the right names. Noah Cantrell.
Hello.
And Nathan Daniel Ford.
Nice to be here.
And then way in the back, who I can barely see, is Mr. David Blackburn.
Hello.
Hello. So we had an opening. It's getting to be a very exciting time on
I
the
know.
Great White Way right now.
I know.
Lots of really good stuff coming. Lots of good stuff previewing.
Lots of stuff, good stuff announcing is finally that's happening
that's
or
true.
New going to happen.
Interestingly
or
enough, the award winner, the Tony Award, the 2018 Tony Award winner for Best Musical just opened last week. I will be very surprised if this doesn't win, and that's The Band's Visit. Y'all talked a little bit about it last week.
So, well, we weren't able to play anything, though. Did you happen to bring those clips? I couldn't play them last week.
No, we didn't. I'm not playing anything.
This is just, I'm trying
to figure out where so I can see David Blackburn. He's hiding behind other people, so I'm going to move over here.
I was just about to go, why'd you put yourself in the corner?
So The Band's Visit is based on a movie. and it played off Broadway to like incredible sold out houses last year.
Well, it kind of looks like everything, so I understand that.
Yeah, and it is going against the grain. It's a very simple, laid back, beautiful story,
mm-hmm.
and it tells a story of a band, an Egyptian band that got
Egyptian
on the wrong
police band.
Okay, an Egyptian police band that got on the wrong bus. And ended up in an Israeli town with no bus till the next day to get them out of there.
In the middle of the desert.
And interestingly enough, the things and the conversations you would think would come up between Israelis and Egyptians didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's really just, it's a relationship piece. And it stars one, Tony Shalhoub. And, oh God, what's her name? I just lost her name. I'll get it.
It's not one I can pronounce off the top of my head. So.
But she was in Indecent.
Mm-hmm.
Katrina Link.
Thank you.
And so they play the two star-crossed lovers, as you will. And the songs are by David Yazbek, who's evidently is this music is supposedly beautiful.
I've those clips that I had you. One of them was only like a minute and a half, and one was two. And I played them over and over and over because they're just lovely.
Well, has anybody seen the movie?
No.
I recorded it. It's sitting on my DVR, and I meant to watch it before we talked about this on Broadway, but I haven't. It's sitting there.
I haven't either.
So I just need to read the opening volley of Ben Brantley's review. It says, "It's time to fall in love again.
Mm.
One of the most ravishing musicals you will ever be seduced by, opened on Thursday night at the Barrymore Theater."
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So... let's see what else I want to talk. It says close to musically perfect. David, do you know any of the music from it?
No, I've not heard anything from it.
Yeah, me neither, except for the clips that you sent me. Let's see what else it says. It finds, this is another thing. Mr. Brantley waxed poetical, of course he always does, to a fault. It finds ecstasy in ennui. Eroticism among people who rarely make physical contact, and a sense of profound eventfulness in a plot which, all told, very little happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds sort of funny, but it's also really beautiful that it's got such a buzz.
I was saying, and Nick's husband, Michael, saw it like 2 weeks ago. And I guess what Michael was saying, I'm like, that's what I got from... I watched some other stuff that they did too, besides those two clips I sent you. And that's what I got from watching it, is that the passion and the movement and the way these songs are performed, there's something about it in a storytelling that's so simple and so capturing, especially when you can see that on a video from something on stage, that draws you in, that you're just mesmerized. The passion in which he sings this one song, Omar Sharif, and the movements, and just the, it's not even like choreography or showstoppers. There's just something special, and you can see it. I don't know how they bottled that magic up. And if they're selling it to other people, exactly. But it's kind of amazing.
It's also interesting that they say that so neither party can understand the other person's because they speak different languages. So they decide to communicate in broken English. So I'm thinking 2 hours worth of listening to people speaking broken English might be a little difficult. And yet maybe not, because clearly. And they were worried about transferring from off-Broadway to Broadway because it's a intimate little show, and evidently... they did a very, very good job doing that.
I really would like to see it.
Let's go.
Hold on. I'm sending a text, and I'm firing up the jet right now. Hold on.
So we also had another kind of... Well, we did have an opening.
Just for the listeners, she really did grab her phone and start sending text.
I don't have a jet. I was acting, Taylor.
If you weren't in the room, you really missed something special.
You're going to have to fire up that webcam again.
That was Tony worthy right there.
Maybe they'll nominate me since it was part of the band's visit.
Yeah.
So who saw the movie Network?
No. Oh, that's the JT was in that, right?
Who's JT?
They won't take it anymore.
Say that again.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it.
That's
anymore.
The one.
Opening in London. Yeah.
So
no, I haven't seen this
in London.
Oh, that's right.
And we have the review right here. Ben Brantley's review, directed by Ivo Van Hove. And stars Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
So the star power just between those two is pretty incredible.
Kind of crazy.
And the review sounds really, really good. He's not really crazy about most of the supporting players, but loves Bryan Cranston, of course. Surprise.
But it's in, did you read some of the English reviews? Because it was kind of the same thing. Ben wasn't totally off.
Right.
He wasn't alone in that thought, I should say.
Rarely is he.
Yeah, sometimes but sometimes Americans look at things totally different than the English do. Really?
I have not noticed
that. You know,
so. She says sarcastically.
No, I wasn't saying it sarcastically.
I said sarcastically.
Oh, you were doing a side.
I'm
sorry.
Speaking of myself in the third person.
Isn't Network the movie where Faye Dunaway has sex and it's like she's conducting a business meeting at the same time she's talking yes. the entire time she's having sex?
I believe so.
That's one of those scenes, once you've seen it, it's like you never forget.
And interesting, that character is played by a woman, Michelle Dockery,
who did Downton Abbey.
Who did she play in Downton Abbey?
Lady Mary.
Yes, she was also Lady in Pygmalion.
Yes.
Didn't like her in this, but he compared her to Faye Dunaway and said she can't get to that level as Faye Dunaway did. So I don't know how fair that is when you do that. But then again, when you're talking about bringing something from a movie, it's like we all compared Andy Carl to Bill Murray for Groundhog Day, et cetera.
You did it in School of Rock to poor Dewey.
Which is true, though.
I'm just saying. You're guilty of it yourself.
I didn't say that I wasn't guilty of it. So one of the things that I know what this means. Normally I come up with words that I don't know what it means. But here's a sentence that I just think he didn't have to say it this way. Yeah. So,
it's got to be good. Bring it, okay. Lisa.
He says, I know. Beale's Jeremads are what makes him a star, but like the movie, this network often eclipses character with its bloviating didactism.
Come on.
I know, please. Why don't you just speak English? Oh, wow. That he's being didactically bloviating.
Says that.
Listen, yes. I'm gonna tell you right now. It's because Ben Brantley listens to this show. He writes that stuff for
just
you.
Just for me.
So Ben. Every week you can talk about it.
All right. Speaking of critics, we're going to have to do a little sideline here. So a couple of things. First of all, I need to thank Nicole Shiro for turning me on to this wonderful Broadway.
Broadway briefing. You
oh
love
my
it, don't
God.
You?
It is the best Broadway briefing.
You know
briefing.
Why? Because that's the insider news for the Broadway people.
It's got everything. And so now all my other podcasts and things I listen to are just reinforcing what I get from
industry briefing for Broadway.
And Charles Isherwood writes for it. And it's great. So then I need to talk about, again, critics, just talking to critics in general. So does anybody listen to Theater Talk on KLRU?
I'm shaking my head.
Nods don't
work.
Yeah.
I know.
So Theater Talk was Michael Riedel and that woman. I can't remember her name.
What's her name?
You know her name?
That woman.
I don't know her name. Anyway, so Michael Riedel left, and now it's a
dude with that woman.
There is that man, that woman on that show.
Not to be mistaken for that girl.
That girl. I love that girl.
I love that girl. I know. I miss it.
So anyway,
there was a show, That Girl, like Mary Tyler Moore back in the day. Yeah. Marlo Thomas was
That Girl.
Google That Girl, and you'll be like, oh my gosh.
That Girl. Yep. So the first instance was a preview of the season, and it had a lot of critics on it. Two that I knew, which was, oh my God, I just lost her name. She writes for The Times and others. She's got Elizabeth Vincentelli, and
otherwise known as That Chickadee.
That Chickadee. That French Chickadee. She's not Italian like you would think. And then, what's his name? Who's the critic for The Times that's not Ben Brantley?
The new guy.
The new guy. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say.
I had a vision in my mind what he looked like. I saw him as a...
his name begins with a J. Oh, God.
Jesse Green.
Thank you.
Does anybody know what Jesse Green looks like? Does anybody have an idea what you think he may look like?
He's really young.
You'd say he's young. Anybody else?
I feel like I saw his photo.
Nods and shakes and shoulder things do not work on the radio.
Okay, no, I have no preconception of what he looks like.
So I imagine him about a young 30, mid-30s something, jet black hair, very handsome, arrogant guy.
Suave.
I would say he's mid-40s, gray hair. He looks like Rush from our radio station a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So which means he's extremely handsome.
Yes.
Anyway, watch.
It means he likes the singer and the song.
Yes, watch. Watch Theater Talk. It has that woman and a revolving group of co-hosts. let's see. So here's an interesting thing.
I feel like that woman needs a theme song. Like. It's that girl. Like, we need that woman song.
Maybe.
I'll work on that
we'll
one.
We'll work on that. Did y'all read that 1984 is been deemed ineligible for the Tonys? Did y'all read about this?
No.
It was kind of like drama for a few days.
It still
on.
Is drama.
I know,
it's
but
crazy.
Like.
Why?
Okay, so
well, they were
first,
naughty.
When they first came out with it, they said that it didn't meet all the criteria, and that's where it stopped. And there's been a lot of thinking back and forth what that is, and I don't think they have officially said it, but one of the criteria is all the Tony nominators have got to be offered tickets to the show.
Mm-hmm.
In 1984, who was produced by Scott Rudin, who we talk about quite often on this show, has some sort of thing against Jose Antonio Vargas, who's a critic, and did not give him tickets to the show. Furthermore, would not let him buy his own tickets to the
what?
Show.
Yeah.
I know.
I was about to say, it came out. Exactly. It's Jose like it Vargas is the whole key to this one.
It makes no sense. But oddly enough, he also was not invited and did not go see Hello Dolly, another Scott Rudin production. But anyway, that's the reason why. And evidently there was something. Oh, he wrote Jose
Which
Antonio Vargas.
Which you gotta find is kind of funny that it's 1984 and what the content exactly. yeah. of the show is and the rules. And I'm all like, okay, this is just, it's so funny on so many levels.
Yeah.
Even though it's not funny, I'm so sorry for those poor people in the cast.
It's downright Orwellian.
But it's downright Orwellian. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So evidently this stems from Mr. Vargas wrote a bad review of The Social Network, a movie that Scott Rudin
Which
produced.
Is the one with JT. I had network and I just was
what
bringing sexy
Ryan?
Back. Justin Timberlake.
Oh, God. Didn't know. Excuse me. So. I'm not like you kids working with initials.
So, yes.
Lisa, if you don't know who Justin Timberlake is.
Well,
I know.
This
it's
morning
okay.
when he woke up, he told me.
She knows who J.J. Watt is these days, so that's okay.
All right, we got to keep going. But this I found very interesting as well. In Utah, there was a scandal in this junior high school when they were shown a pornographic movie.
I just couldn't wait. Y'all are just gonna die because I don't even.
Has
know
Has anybody
to go
heard
on
this?
So many levels
to hear the name
with
of the
this.
Movie.
The name of the movie is.
Wait for it.
Oklahoma.
Oh. That would be the. English version
the
with Hugh Jackman.
Right, the Hugh Jackman version. And at one point when Curly's looking at the, Judd is looking at the pornography, the camera goes over and you actually see some women that were fully clothed. Wow. And an email went out saying that they're showing porn. It blew up.
Blew up. I was like, apparently some of the other issues in the show don't bother them.
You were going to tell me that this was the Gordon McRae version and it was the fantasy sequence with Jennifer Jones or whatever. No, she's not Jennifer Jones, but Shirley Jones.
Right,
Shirley Jones, where they do the whole thing. I thought if that's...
That would be pushing
it. They're pushing it if they consider that porn.
Yep.
Utah.
So I don't remember. One of the weeks you were not here, you were in Houston. Did you get to see Margaritaville?
No, I was not. I did not go to, because of my back, I was not clear to drive with the Margaritaville.
Margaritaville played Houston. It played three cities before. It's playing a little place called Broadway.
It's in Chicago
In Chicago right now, along with Hamilton and Lin-Manuel Miranda and Jimmy Buffett have been hanging out together.
Isn't that
but
funny?
One of the things I think is interesting.
Well, he got Jimmy Buffett, I should say, it was just in New Orleans before it was in Houston, before it was in Chicago. And Jimmy Buffett threw a raucous party that Page Six wrote about, and they closed that bad boy down.
Yep.
So he is just hot to trot all over the place.
So the producers want to find some way to be able to tailgate outside in front of Which theater are they at? They are at, I know, Norman is laughing. So we're going to start, it's the Marquee Theater, and they're going to try to do tailgating in that alleyway at the Marriott Marquee.
Wouldn't it be a bit chilly to be doing tailgating?
Listen, we tailgate at the Yankee games in the criminal court parking lot in the Bronx. So, okay. I mean, and if there's a piece of concrete for you to do it, we're going to do it.
My old office was right across the street from Soldier Field in Chicago, and I would be going to my office on Sunday because I work a lot. And 20-degree weather, and people are out drinking beer in the parking lot.
It's crazy. And even when they rebuilt Giant, and I have to include the Jets, but when they rebuilt the stadium, they cut out half of the tailgating, and people still find a way to make it happen in the cold.
Anyway, so Margaritaville, I want to see it. I like Jimmy Buffett's music. I'm just going to say that,
it's
right?
It's gotten
I got some shrugs.
It's feel-good stuff.
Like, it's actually gotten some really good reviews. And what I found interesting, especially because when this was playing in Houston and the reviewers came, it was the World Series, the final World Series for Houston. Wow. And reviewers came and wrote, the show made me feel so good. I didn't even, wasn't stressing, like, is my city winning? And what's going on? Like, it made me stop and not get upset about the World Series. And then I came out and we won the World Series. So it was a really good night. And I was like, whoa.
There you go.
That says something.
That's an accomplishment. Mm-hmm.
So something we've been talking about on this program for several years is King
theater.
Kong.
Me.
It's theater. Theater is finally coming to Broadway.
Whoa. Lisa, what's theater?
King Kong is,
oh my gosh,
finally,
I'm so excited.
October of 2018 is going to play. This was a fraught musical. Nobody has said really good things about the...
Doesn't matter. It's a 100-ton animatronic puppet that is just amazing with 100 people moving stuff. It's so cool.
Nobody has said anything good about the book, the lyrics, the music, or the acting, but this puppet is supposedly incredible.
It's like Spider-Man. Nothing was good but the flying, but it was incredible.
So it's finally coming. So that's really, really cool. Meatloaf musical.
Meatloaf.
Bat out of Hell.
King Kong announced cast today, but I forget who it is. It was this morning, but I forget.
But yeah. So are you a Meatloaf
fan? Hell,
I do own Bat Out of Hell. And
there you go.
My brother is
so Bat Out of Hell.
It's different than just the album, but it is the music. They did it in Manchester this summer, and then it went to the West End. My brother has been counting down to this and like rejoicing through the house that it's coming to New York. Looks kind of fun.
Yep.
Looks like a lot of fun, and got rave reviews in England.
That's two raves, everybody.
Lots of them. Yeah. Jazz hands across the pond.
Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is I've talked about it every week that I've been here, and I keep forgetting to check what's going to be playing, but they did this time. So every Friday for the past two, and I think for the next three or four, they've got Broadway-type great performances on PBS. Last week was the In the Heights...
starring one Michael Hartman.
That's right.
We're missing Nick Mayo here. But
Michael Hartman does a little cameo.
3-4 minute cameo in that.
1 minute cameo, but it's okay. It's still good.
He's reading the reviews, man. There. He was there for that moment.
Yep, for that moment where they actually read the reviews of the In the Heights. And did anybody see the In the Heights documentary?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But then you saw Michael Hartman reading the reviews.
Well I don't know. Are you saying that Nick...
Speaking
Mayo
of that microphone,
Michael,
please.
His husband.
Yeah, Nick and Michael are married.
They're two different people.
I wouldn't know him if I fell over him.
Yeah, so. Well, you could. You might fall over him. So anyway, next week... Oh, so the week prior to last was... She Loves Me.
Present Laughter.
No, it was Present Laughter. I was like,
which, by the way, I had trouble watching.
Really?
I had trouble watching. The woman that played... the young girl was driving me a little bonkers. Yeah.
He dated a Daphne.
The Daphne that did it.
I do
dare it, Zach?
Yeah, the one who did it.
Yeah, what's her name?
Karina Browning.
Yeah, I think she did a great job. Okay. I'm just going to say that. But this girl was a little over the top, I think. Way over the top. I don't know. But I had trouble watching it. And Kevin Kline, but what I did like about Kevin Kline.
God, what don't you love about Kevin Kline?
That's
personally
how... He had a very subdued... performance of the approach to the role, which is sort of opposite if you read it. And certainly when Mark Puhey did it, he did it very broad. Kevin Kline's just great. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and then prior to that was She Loves Me.
So who was, this has been driving me crazy. When it was done recently at Zach Scott,
yep.
Who was the actor who did it?
Jamie Goodwin.
Yes. Okay. So I've seen him. I've seen,
Zach Scott was Mark Puhey, wasn't it?
No,
that was Austin Shakespeare.
I didn't see the one.
The one
Zach
was, Barbara Chisholm and Mary. I did crew on that show. That's why I'm all,
oh,
like,
did
I
Barbara,
can tell you.
Did Barbara Chisholm play the wife or the secretary?
She played the wife, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yep. She could do either, I think.
That's what I was thinking. It was the third time because I saw Brian Bedford do it at Stratford, and I saw Steve Sutcliffe do it at the Shaw. And Jamie Goodwin, who I...
I bet you Brian Bedford was great.
That. I'm going to have Brian to remember...
Was great. Yes, well...
Yeah. Now that you're... think about... Maybe Mary played... I have to think about that. That was a long time ago.
Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Making me think over a decade.
So next, this coming Friday is Indecent, and we'll be able to see What's Her Name from Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm. In the band's visit.
In the band's
visit. That
little lady. Yep. That woman will be in it. But in the meantime, let's take a little break. Let's go out and listen to a little bit of pornography.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We are missing
Nick by herself.
Nick by herself.
No mayo. Nick, hold Nick, no the mayo. Mayo.
Hold the mayo.
It's just Nicole.
There you go. That's our new theme song. We have been...
that was lame, so please do not keep that one.
We have been talking to David Blackburn, Nathan Daniel Ford, and Noah Cantrell, and now we're going to switch gears, talk to the folks at different stages, and that is Mr. Norman Blumensaat, Ms. Taylor Flanagan,
hi.
Ms. Karen Jambone, and David... Nope, not David Blackburn. We're just going to stop at
those
Karen
three.
Jambone.
Yeah.
We are enough, you That's guys. Fine.
There
we
you
are
go.
Enough.
You are enough. So, y'all are doing Member of the Wedding
yes.
by Carson McCullers.
Yes.
Somebody tell us what this show is all about.
All
I'm looking at Karen and Norman here.
I love that they looked at each other and giggled inside.
It's about a lot of things. It's, you talked about a relationship musical earlier. This is a very much a relationship show about a young girl who is searching for her place in the world, and she's on the cusp of womanhood. She's 12 years old, and we all know what we were like at 12 years old when your body's changing
Still
and your emotions are changing, and she's going through all of that. Her brother and his fiance have arrived at the house, and they are announcing that they're getting married in 2 days, and she absolutely falls in love with the idea of this wedding and the fact that she needs to be a part of it, needs to live with them ever happily ever after. And so it's a lot about finding your place in the world, finding where you belong, the relationship between her and the family cook, who is a stand-in, a surrogate mother to everybody in the play, because Frankie's mom died when she was born. And it deals a lot with even racism in the South. It takes place in 1940s Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so you also look at some things about racism. And it's just that idea of growing up.
Comedy?
Some. It's what, you know, I always like to say it's a dramedy.
It's a dramedy.
I like dramedies.
I like dramedy, yeah.
We
favorite.
Should all laugh a little and cry a little, you know, work those emotions.
You have to laugh, and if you don't find the places to laugh, then it becomes overbearing. So yes, but it's a dramedy.
Awesome. Well, sounds great. So we're going to take a quick little tangent.
Sure.
During the break, I asked Taylor to come up with a number between 2 and 54, not choosing 27 and 37. What did you choose?
I chose 3.
All right. Well, let's see what you chose.
Hello. I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM.
Hello.
Oh, yes. I know that Kara would love to be here. She loved, you know, I closed my last tour of Hello, Dolly in Austin when my dear Lady Bird was alive. And, you know, I made that song so famous by singing Hello, Lindy. And he won the election. I think, I suppose I sang
91.7 FM. Alors maintenant, je vais dire quelques mots en français.
Okay, I'm going to stop them right there. This goes on for quite a while.
Well, it was Kay Ballard and Lillian Montevecchi and Leroy Reams. That was pretty funny.
I did that by accident because I had it in my program to do, and I had the three of them in their own separate tracks, and I accidentally exported everything together, and I thought it sounded like fun, so I put it on the rotation. Nice choice, Taylor. I don't know that we've ever had that before.
I don't think we have.
That's a minute and a half long, and I had to stop it.
Yeah. You had Kay Ballard doing Shirley Winters, and Lilia Montevecchi. Yeah. All come on.
So Taylor,
yeah,
what role do you play?
I play Frankie, the 12-year-old girl.
Okay.
That's feeling like she doesn't know where she belongs.
Tell us about her.
Other than
what we've already learned.
I actually, we went to the Harry Ransom Center and looked at their Carson McCullers archives last week. And I actually wrote down an early draft of the show had stage directions that were a little longer. They were a little too long. They were more like
a novel.
Yeah, she had already written the novel and she was adapting it into a play. And so some of these stage directions read a little bit like the novel. But I really liked this description of her. She is a dreamy, restless girl, and periods of energetic activity alternate with a rapt attention to her inward world of fantasy.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, I do like that too. That's beautiful. Kind of.
I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. I had to write it down.
So,
first of all, I thought you had invisible ink because of the glare. I did not see the pencil writing. And
can't
I'm
see
like,
anything either.
She picked up a blank piece of paper, and how is she reading that?
I just,
that or you're wondering.
She's magic.
No.
Yeah.
So playing a 12-year-old girl has got to have some challenges because you are an adult woman.
Yeah. Well, and it for me, I think the challenge is I play children a lot. And so for me, the challenge is not to play young, but to play the character rather than the age.
Yep.
So, you know, this girl is different from Sandy and Miss Brody, and she's different from May and Junie B, and she's different from these other teenagers that I've played. And
that's a great distinction. I was I was watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the Whiz Kid Addiction edition, and these little 12-year-olds.
Yeah,
are,
I know.
They're little. You would not, if you just saw them or heard, and without seeing them, if you heard them,
they're like little old souls. So, they're like old people in little bodies, and you're like, what?
And some of the things that Frankie comes out with are really beyond her years. And we all have that within us at all ages. You know, we have these moments where the adults in our lives will be like, whoa, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And so she definitely has quite a few throughout the course of the play where it's just like, wow, you know, that's beautiful or that's hilarious or witty or, you know.
And just like kids at that age, then she'll resort in like two lines later to being this, you know,
little brat,
bratty little girl.
Can you share some of those lines with us?
Yeah. Well, we have a little.
Oh, you have a little scene.
A little scene,
and
if you'd like.
Yes.
Well, thank you. We'd love to have a scene.
Tell it. Well, so set the scene up, and is this going to be Taylor alone, or somebody?
Yes, it's
going to
be Taylor alone.
Okay.
And it's near the end of the first act when she kind of comes to a realization about the wedding and her place in it and where she really wants to be and why she needs to be there. And she's actually talking to her young cousin at that time.
But he's not here.
But he's not here.
We'll just pretend he
is. Yes, we will.
It'll be acting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is
what a concept.
It'll be
what a concept.
We're learning
I love
so
it.
Much today.
Okay. This is Taylor Flanagan doing a scene from Different Stages production of Member of the Wedding.
Don't bother me, John Henry. I'm thinking about the wedding. About my brother and the bride. Everything's been so sudden today. I never believed before about the fact that the earth turns at the rate of about 1,000 miles a day. I didn't understand why it was that if you jumped up in the air, you wouldn't land in Selma or Fairview or somewhere else instead of the same backyard. But now, seems to me I feel the world going around very fast. I feel it turning, and it makes me dizzy. I just now thought of something. I know where I'm going. It's like I've known it all my life. Tomorrow I'll tell everybody. After the wedding, I'm going with them to Winter Hill. I'm going off with them after the wedding. The trouble with me is that for a long time, I've been just an I person. All other people can say we. When Bernice says we, she means her lodge and church and colored people. Soldiers can say we and mean the army. All people belong to a we, except me.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Taylor spends a great deal of the play in bare feet, and she is in her bare feet now. So you need
I
to understand.
I just feel more
comfortable. Well, there you go.
Well, connection.
We appreciate that those of us that are involved in this show take an approach that's around the method.
So, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Norman, why did you choose this? What, tell us about your choice of adding this to your season.
Oh, well, okay. So I have a high school friend who is a graduate of the Department of Theater and Dance from UT. And when he was at UT, he did a directing thesis production of Edward Albee's adaptation of The Ballad of the Sad Cafe. And he played Cousin Lyman, the dwarf homosexual. Who
double whammy.
That was my sorority name.
Yes, yes, yes. Who seduces the Miss Amelia's husband, Marvin Macy, and anyways, if you know that, the movie of that was filmed here actually.
With
yes. Anyways, so he was the one who pointed out to me that Carson McCullers was born in 1917, and it's 2017, and had she managed to live past age 50, it's her 100th anniversary.
Oh mm-hmm. my!
And so that sort of got me thinking about this. And, you know, and the fact that the play deals with, you know, lots of things. I mean, we have two children who could potentially be each considered transgendered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
in the book, Frankie, like, walks around the little town in her football uniform.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scandalous.
Yeah. And yes. John Henry has plays with dolls and wears dresses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have this whole...
And this was written when?
It was written in the...
40s?
Late 40s,
wow.
Yeah. And it went to Broadway in... No, late 1950 she wrote it, and then it went to Broadway, and she did the play, and then went to Broadway shortly thereafter. And, yeah.
And so. Carson McCullers, tell them about the people burning the crosses on her.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was from a little town in Georgia, Columbus, Georgia, and was very much ahead of her time in terms of her idea about race relations and what was going on. And so when she left Columbus, she lived in Paris, she lived in New York, she lived all over the place, and... when she went back to Columbus at some point, the Ku Klux Klan actually threatened her and said, "You have no place in this town," uh-huh. because they perceived her as being not a good Georgian. And as a matter of fact, for one of those reasons, she did not want any of her archives to go to any of those universities, and she ended up giving them to the Ransom Center.
Wow.
Which I found was fascinating.
That is
because
fascinating.
She specifically didn't want her works yeah. in libraries that were segregated.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted her works to be able to be viewed by anybody.
By everybody.
That what? Ransom wow. Center has gems that people yeah. don't even realize
no.
that they have.
We
it's
saw
amazing.
A, we saw a portion, and it was fascinating.
That
was
fascinating.
You know,
that is fascinating.
And the thing is that she dealt for her time period, she dealt an awful lot with sexuality, if
yeah.
you know Reflections in a Golden Eye, which
right.
is one of the strangest stories of all time. Have you ever seen that movie?
Have not.
With Marlon Brando and Liz Taylor? Where Liz Taylor
I know
beats
both of
Marlon
those
Brando
actors.
With the riding crop?
Oh, my.
There's none of that in this show. But, you know.
Well, the director may have used it once or twice. But
that's right.
So we're just about out of time. When do you guys open?
This coming Friday.
This
day
coming
after tomorrow.
Friday. And where are you playing?
The Vortex.
At the Vortex. And how long do you play?
4 weekends.
Until December 9th.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And so where do folks go to get more information? And this is going to make me the happiest of all.
They can either go to the Different Stages website or to the Vortex website.
And the Different Stages website is differentstagestheater.org.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Woo!
No
it's
backslash.
No longer,
what happened to
theater,
the backslash?
Theater spelled the French way.
Right. Well, the correct
That's
way.
That's the correct way.
Yeah. So no more main.org/diffstages, although it will get you there.
Yes. differentstagestheater.org. Differentstagestheater.org.
Well, thank you guys
thank
so
you.
Much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Hopefully,
thank you.
I know Norman's got to run away, but hopefully
gotta
somebody go. Can stick around. Around for backstage.
All right.
I
thank
gotta
you.
Go see you guys later.
That was bye bye, Karen. That was Norman Blumensot, Karen John Bone, Taylor Flanagan of Different Stages production of Carson McCullers, Member of the Wedding at the Vortex Theater, November 17th through December 9th. For more information, differentstagestheater.org. We will be right back.
Oh, when it's your
okay, surprise. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Elisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Nick to yourself, hold the mayo.
Hold the mayo.
No mayo today.
No mayo. So, local, I just want to talk about Improved Shakespeare.
I love those
little urchins.
Yes!
They're doing a production of Macbeth. And at the Scottish Rite Theater on the 18th and 19th. And we work a spinoff of Improve It Shakespeare is Girl Improve It, who we work with quite a bit. And they're actually doing at Ground Floor Theater I don't remember when it is. It's this summer. A festival of film and theater for girls and boys, but it's about feminine empowerment and female empowerment, and it's called Gift Fest, G-I-F-T Fest.
That's pretty cool.
So more about that later. But anyway, Shakespeare's Macbeth at Scottish Rite with a cast of young performers on the 14th and 15th. More information can be found at... I don't see a website, but why don't you go to improvedshakespeare.com, and that should do it for you.
I have to tell you, I'm really excited what I saw on Ground Floor schedule for December.
Which is?
The Colored People's Christmas. Did I see Christine?
You did not.
Did I not see that there?
No, you did not.
Oh, I thought I...
You saw it there 2 years ago. December. No. So do you have anything else locally you want to speak about?
Oh, I need to get it together.
Anything?
I did, but I don't know where I lost my little page, so I lost my time.
All right, so we're going to go straight to Today in Theater History. This gives us more time to talk to Austin Theater Project. So this is an interesting. Two people, some guy with the last name of Gilbert and another guy with the last name of Sullivan, made their U.S. debut in 1875.
Wow.
At the Eagle Variety Theater. Extra credit if y'all can tell me what show it was.
Oh, 1875?
Yeah, you're never going to come up with it because it's trial by jury.
That was a hard year for me, you know. it was a little cloudy.
It was cloudy with a chance of meatballs. So in 1926, one of the last appearances by Lynn Fontaine, along with her husband, Alfred Lunt, she was Eliza Doolittle in Pygmalion.
I wonder if you'd go there.
I did. and then
I can't believe 1926. Wow.
Yeah. 1932, Elia Kazan made his Broadway debut in Chrysalis, and it was a short-lived drama with Humphrey Bogart and Margaret Sullivan at the Martin Beck. But he wasn't Elia Kazan. I keep wanting to say Elia. Elia Kazan. He was E. Kazan.
I like Kazan.
But he, folks will know him. He was very famous for doing Streetcar and Death of a Salesman.
Mm-hmm.
That
must have been an interesting production with those cast of characters.
Humphrey Bogart and Margaret Sullivan on Broadway.
Like, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like,
Okay. This is the death anniversary of Lionel Barrymore. And I'm going to blast through some of these things. Too bad Nick isn't here because in 1994, Julie Harris starred as Amanda Wingfield in Roundabout Theater Company's Glass Meningerie.
Oh!
Or as we like to call it,
Zui a la Cristal, right?
Zui Loico de Cristal.
Thank you.
So this is also the revival in 2009 of Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty's Ragtime, which I know you love.
I do.
Starred Christine Noel, Robert Petkoff, and Quentin Earl Darrington.
You want a trivia fact on Ragtime?
Please.
The original movie that was shot, the old Atlantic City scenes, is actually in my little hometown, Spring Lake, New Jersey.
There you go. Huh? There you go.
Random Ragtime fun fact.
This is also the premiere of Misery. Stephen King's show with Bruce Willis and Laurie Metcalf.
Boy, that's like a blur in my head that went and passed.
Yeah. Edward Asner's birthday, 1929. Petula Clark.
Really?
I wonder why she done in Broadway.
Petula
Clark?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sam Waterston. Locally, our
He's
own...
He's fascinating, that Sam.
Sam Waterston,
yes.
Locally, our own Dan Kofer.
Oh.
And Laura Wahlberg. Here in town.
We love the Laura.
Tomorrow, we have a load of local birthdays. Kelly Bland. Hal Roberts. Michelle Keffer. Jules Minkoff.
Oh, that's a lot. We're already at four.
I'm not done. Renata Delena and Janina Gonzalez.
That is a lot. That is a
lot.
There
you go. So that's it for Today in Theater History.
Apparently, November is baby time.
It is. So let's go out listening to...
Everybody's doing math in here right now. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
February. Yeah, that's what it is.
So let's go out listening to a little bit of Ragtime. We'll hear the dulcet tones of what's her name and what's his name? That woman and that man.
And that man.
That woman being Audra McDonald and that man being Brian Stokes Mitchell.
There we go. I never heard
no music quite like. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and Nicole. No Nick.
No Nick. Hold the mayo.
Hold the mayo. Hold the mayo. Hold the mayo. Speaking of singing on our show.
Yeah.
You know, we always, Nick and I always sing, Hung
Min Young. We did last week without you, and I was going to play it.
Well, so on Playbill.com, there is a quiz. I love taking the quizzes. It's like Cosmo. There's a quiz that's saying, how well do you know the Lion King lyrics? And
did you fail or did you do well?
I did. It's amazing how much I knew all the songs, but it's like they would always hit the last phrase of a 4-line phrase, and I knew everything up to. And I go, God, what do they say? But one was the actual word that they do.
It's actually a language.
Swahili or something.
Yes, it's actually real. There was an interesting time in the article in the New York Times about how this musical has changed South Africans'
lives.
Yes,
there was.
It was a really
two articles, two separate articles about that. So. Actually, all right. So we have been talking to different stages: Norman Blumenthal, Karen Jambon, and Taylor Flanagan, and now we're going to talk to. Austin, what's the name of your theater?
The dudes
Austin
from theater that project. Theater.
Oh my lord!
Oh my gosh!
No, Lisa, it's the dudes from that theater.
Those men are going to speak to these women: David Blackburn, Nathan Daniel Ford, and Noah Cantrell. And they are going to talk about Austin Theater Project's The World Goes Round. Now, David Blackburn, as creative director of Austin Theater Project, as co-founder of Austin Theater Project, and as the usual musical director for the shows of Austin Theater Project, you're doing a different role than you typically
do. You know, there was one more hat to wear, so I tried it on.
Which is what hat?
That would be director.
So you're directing this piece.
Yes.
Awesome. So when you read about this piece, so this is what some of us would call like a cabaret, but you specifically say no.
It's
treated a little differently.
It's a tribute show, review show kind of thing. And personally, I don't like tribute shows or review shows. So I was like, what am I going to do with this? So we're taking one of the more popular songs in the show and we're making that kind of the theme. Uh-huh. And we're setting this in a coffee shop.
And, is it a Starbucks?
Can I ask which song that you're making the theme or is that a surprise?
Well, the song is called Coffee in a Cardboard Cup.
Yeah, no, I was just... Okay, we're talking so about funny. Kander and Ebb, so I know.
I came very close to choosing that song as to play us out, but I ended up not. I went somewhere else.
That's okay, that's okay.
It's so funny, because I love that song.
So
Mr.
we have
Stuart
a little...
Moulton sings that as well in his act.
I used to sing it in cabaret.
So we have a coffee shop with a live band and wonderful singers and customers who are very talented. And
do you have a barista?
Yes, barista? Our stage manager is actually our barista.
Okay, that's hilarious. So is Lisa going to get a cup of coffee?
We're hoping to get that worked out.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm just teasing around, but I love it. He's trying to make it happen.
I like immersive experience.
You know why? Because he's that guy from that theater.
I'm that guy from that theater company.
You don't mess around.
I love the idea of it. Are you weaving a narrative of any sort?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, we're still presenting the show musically the way it was intended to be.
I guess
presented.
We didn't explicitly say this. Nicole made mention, and you've talked about their music, but this is the music of two particular composers.
Yes.
Which
John
are?
John Kander and Fred Ebb.
John Kander and Fred Ebb.
Who
the
wrote...
The longest composing American duo composers in Broadway history. The greatest in my book. Thank you very much.
They wrote Chicago. They wrote Cabaret.
They wrote the song
Scottsboro
New York,
Boys.
New York.
The song New York, New York.
New York, New York.
Which I think is probably... What, is that your alarm clock or your ringtone or something?
No, it's not. Believe it or not, no, it's not.
No, her ringtone would be New Jersey.
The show also includes a lot of songs from shows that you may not have heard of. And it's absolutely incredible.
The
you know, I keep saying it has colored lights in it. Which yes, is, The Ring is my favorite musical.
There's and a lot Nick of music and from The Ring.
Nick Mayo's not here
you
either.
You talked about it last week
we
again.
We talk about it all the time. Like, who is going to do The Ring? People need to do The Ring. The Ring is everything.
So I want to make sure we have time for it because you said it's a sort of a long song. Yeah. But we're going to do a song, right?
Yes, that'd be wonderful. Why don't to the boys.
Why don't you, yes, why don't y'all tell us, what, Noah or Nathan, what song are y'all going to sing?
We're actually doing a duet that's a medley of the songs I Don't Remember You and Sometimes
well,
a Day
I'm standing
Goes By.
Right in front of you. Why would you not remember you?
You didn't remember
He's
me.
He's talking about that little ditty, Lisa.
That little ditty. Okay. Well, great. So y'all ready to just jump right in? Okay. So this is Nathan Daniel Ford and Noah Cantrell singing a medley from Austin Theater Project's The World Goes Round.
I don't remember you. I don't remember you. I don't recall a single thing we used to say or do. What dancing in the park? What laughter in the dark? What smoldering fireplace that lit your face with every spark? And if I left you once before, somehow I can't recall it anymore. That was another girl. You're not at all like her. Though for an instant when you touched me, I believed you were. But I was wrong, this moment is new. Because I can't, I won't, I don't remember you. That was another time and place. Though you bear a faint resemblance, you're another face. Yes, I was wrong. This moment is new. Because I can't, I won't, I don't remember you.
Sometimes a day goes by, entire day, when I don't think of her. 24 hours pass, I look around and find that I haven't thought of her, not even when I'm somewhere we used to go, not even if that's someone we used to know. It's hardly every day, it's most unusual, in fact. I can't remember when, but sometimes a day goes by when I don't think of her till morning comes. And there she is again. I don't remember you. I don't remember Sometimes you. A day goes I by. Don't remember One you. Whole entire day when I don't recall what I haven't we thought say of do. Her. Not even when I'm somewhere we used to go. Not even if
somehow
that
I can't recall
we
it.
Used to know.
That was another girl.
It's hardly
You're not at all
it's
like
most
her.
Unusual, in fact.
No form and
I can't remember when, but sometimes a day goes by she
Beautiful. That was lovely. I apologize. At one point, I accidentally turned the microphone off for the piano. So you probably lost a little bit of your piano there for a second.
Did you?
I'm just a rookie.
You were like,
anyway, we just have time to give the particulars.
Okay.
So when do you open?
We open Friday.
This Friday, and you play through?
We play through December 2nd.
Okay, and you're at Trinity Street Theater?
We're at Trinity Street Theater. Downtown.
Awesome. And is this done as one act?
No, it's two acts.
Two acts, mm-hmm. And suitable for the kids, I would assume?
Pretty much. I'd say teenagers and above is great.
Teenagers
and above. Under teenagers, you're not
great. Some sauciness to it.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for sticking around. David, I know you have to scoot off, but hopefully you two will stick around for backstage.
Yes, ma'am.
That'd be great.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that was David Blackburn, Nathan Daniel Ford, and Noah Cantrell of Austin Theater Project's The World Goes Round at Trinity Theater, November 17th through December 2nd. For more information, austintheaterproject.org. We'll be right back, and I mean, we'll be right back. Yep, you know what? We're never going to leave. Hold on, here we go.
Step right up and meet the kid herself, the most amazing miss in all of New York City. She has got what very few.
Okay, we're back. That little piece was from The Floor of the Red Menace.
Menace. That has some, that the hell, oh, I love Floor of the Red Menace.
I've never seen it, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, there's some good stuff in there. Young Liza.
Young Liza. So we got to rock and roll, and hopefully stay tuned for Backstage
like
at Offstage. But definitely stand tuned for Austin Modern News. They're next. Like us, do all that stuff, but we don't have time to really talk about it. We're going to go away.
Offstageonair.com, find it all.
Well, I think that this really doesn't, we don't even need to say anything about it. Well, the curtain has just come down on Whispers, the musical. The story of a person with no vocal cords trying to make it in the world and talk in the foundry that they work in. Nobody can understand what they say.
Shh.
That's the opening line. So here we are. We've come out the backstage door. We've gone down the stairs. We're standing in puddles of unnamed liquid here right next to the dumpsters, which bring off a fragrant perfume that we all love.
Yes.
And joining us are...
soon to be the smell of turkey.
Nathan Daniel Ford. Nathan.
That's me.
Yeah, he's waving dead. Does not
waving,
work.
Though. That's me.
Waving does not work. And Noah Cantrell.
Hi.
Just dawned on me, am I pronouncing both of your names correctly? Because normally I ask before the show, and I didn't.
You didn't
this time.
Ask today. I just noticed that. You were living
first
on
try.
The edge.
I'm
oh.
living on the edge. I'm a woman
and
on the
verge.
Guess
what? You even got him correct today, too. You are definitely living on the edge, Lisa.
Yep, yep. It's not nearly as fun as it used to be. Okay, you guys. So we'll... Noah, what's your story? Where'd you come from?
I was born in Round Rock.
Texas?
In Round Rock, Texas.
I'm sorry. Is your father a policeman?
No, my father is a... agent, like a financial agent.
I don't know what my father does. My father's in waste management.
I like that he said agent, and it could have been like, I was like, yeah. What kind? And then he's like, financial. Because agent is such a great word that it goes everywhere. It's like, what
kind?
Yeah,
anything. Yeah. Real estate agent.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Round Rock. You did not get very, and you're in school right now. Did I get that from our conversation earlier?
I'm not in Round Rock, but I am in a school at Texas State University.
Texas State, right.
I love it.
Are you living
Texas
down
State.
There in San Marcos?
Yes, I am.
Are you doing theater down there?
I am.
With Shannon McCormick and all those really fun people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Thanks for being on the show.
he looked at me like, oh my gosh, for real?
Did you do theater in high school?
I did do some theater in high school.
Name one.
A show that I did?
Yeah.
I've succeeded in really freaking Noah out.
He just started cracking up, which was kind of everything.
when did you get interested in doing theater?
Ooh.
Seems like
there's a story or a moment there.
No, it's funny because I was watching Disney Channel and I literally got into acting while I was watching Disney Channel. I was
any
like,
particular
like
show?
Wizards of Waverly Place.
Wizards of Waverly Place.
Interesting. Actually,
don't
I
know that show.
I do. You know why? The Morgues. Morgan.
Oh, Morgan. The Morgan, yeah. Our roving reporter on the,
our
in the Northeast.
Our roving reporter in the Northeast. Yeah, because I...
Wow, so that did it. And so I'm assuming your father's not a theatrical agent. He's a financial agent.
Right.
I'm guessing your mother's not in the business either. Right?
She's not in the theater business, no.
Okay, so...
So what'd they say when you were like, I want to do that?
They were very supportive of it. I mean, like, my mom, like, I kind of understand that because she wasn't theater, but she was music. She was a flute player, and she was a very
flautist. Flautist. We love flautists. It's very exciting.
If I were a flautist, I would flaunt my flautistness.
Speaking of the Lion King, did you know the flautist in the Lion King plays more instruments than any other part of the orchestra?
There you go.
Oh, wow.
And they create all the sounds. Oh, yes. We did an interesting piece with the flautist of the Lion King for the 20th anniversary this year. It's pretty cool.
There you go. Okay.
Flautist talk today on Flautist Talk.
Okay. So the Disney Channel sort of... piqued this curiosity. What was it? Did you ask to go to a acting class? Did you start doing stuff in high school?
I started doing stuff with a children's theater. My first production I ever did was Grease.
And for children's theater?
For children's, yeah.
Like teenager children? I mean,
they were smoking cigarettes and wearing spandex and having some summer lovin'.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting choice for children's theater. I mean, typically we think of Cinderella, Pinocchio, but Grease? Did you play Danny Zuko?
Blur. I don't...
I'm going to assume they cut Rizzo from it.
That's what I was going to say entirely. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
There are worse things I could do. I would love to see a young child. Sorry, it's so wrong.
Yourself up.
I'm assuming they cut like a good amount of all of the original stuff from Grease. But I was 9. I had never heard of like musicals before then.
But were you singing before that?
This is something my mom would say, is that I would like start like humming pitches like at the age of 2, like I could like match pitch at the age of 2. So that's just something.
It's in your blood.
Yes, it was definitely.
They match pitch in Pitch Perfect 1.
Oh, I just saw the preview for the new Pitch Perfect 3, and I was like,
Lisa
Sheps might be excited.
Nathan, have you done children's theater?
I did like church musicals is probably the earliest theater that I did actually.
But you didn't do children's theater.
No, not true okay. children's theater.
What about you, Nicole? You do children? You, of course. I've seen
I
you
was
do
about
children's
to say,
theater.
Girl, you've
I saw
seen
you do
me
James
do
and the Giant Peach.
Children's theater.
Oh, you mean theater for youth?
Yes.
Like, as an adult actor, yes. I have.
Okay.
I've
What'd
done
you do?
Stuff for Georgetown Palace, their theater for youth. We did True Story of the Three Little Pigs last fall, and I was the big bad wolf.
You were the big bad wolf?
I love it.
You know why? Because you look mean.
I would not agree with that statement.
That is a very judgmental statement, Lisa.
It was a statement of fact.
Well.
No, I'm teasing.
Shh.
To me, you look just like a microphone because I can't see you through all the bevy of
microphones. I have been doing a lot of bobbing today behind.
No, I think it was definitely the beard possibly that helped me get cast.
Possibly.
And then I shaved it right beforehand because I was in a production of A Few Good Men at Texarts at the time, so they wanted me to look like a Marine. So.
Oh, yeah, the beard doesn't work with the Marines.
No,
yeah,
because
they
all.
Can't handle the truth.
Listen,
you know what I did there?
There was scandal last week because Harry didn't shave and was in uniform over in England. So, you know,
didn't know. Missed that whole
thing. Yeah, I was like, woo, England. You got some heavy stuff going on.
Missed that whole thing.
Those royals get themselves into lots
of
trouble.
Yeah, come to our country. That's your problem.
My first children's theater piece was it was a long time ago.
What was it?
I was in the ensemble of a production of Tom Sawyer.
Oh. I love.
In the Round at the Houston Music Theater.
I was about to say, where was that in Houston?
Houston Music Theater for a company called Studio 7 at the time.
Or as General Zod says in Superman, we'll go to the city called Houston.
Never seen Superman.
Never
seen Superman.
Are you kidding me?
None of them. Not one of them.
Not one?
Not one. Sorry.
No.
Well, we're not here to talk about you and me, what movies we watch.
But
what
this
movies
is like,
do you watch?
This is like scandal. I can tell you I'm very excited and planning a field trip to go see Coco. I am very excited about the new movie Coco. And I am even more exciting, and this has to do with theater. We didn't talk about this. Did you see the new preview with Hugh Jackman for The Greatest Showman?
No.
The new P.T. Barnum movie?
No.
It looks like it's a musical. I think it was supposed to be a musical, and Hugh has sung in a few trailers, and so have other people.
I think it is.
Is it a musical?
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't know. It looks amazing.
I mean, any excuse to see Hugh sing on screen.
Yeah. And awesome. You know what we did not talk about is Harmony, the musical that is going to be a musical drama on ABC.
Oh, yes.
I think next season.
I think it's next season, too.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk more. We'll have to find out more. I'm going to get down to this, and we'll discuss next week.
Yeah, we'll discuss more later. Let's talk to our guests.
I know. I'm sorry.
I just saw a thing on Playbill, though, saying that ABC's going to be doing a show called Encore that Kristen Bell is going to host. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That sounded pretty interesting.
Old musical theater.
Right, old musical theater cast reuniting to do their shows again.
Yep.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to go back and do any
reignite some showmances.
Yeah. So Noah, what else? So now you're at studying theater at Texas State?
Correct.
Are you studying musical theater?
I'm studying performance.
So you're getting a little bit of everything?
I'm getting a little bit of thing of everything in the theater department.
Have you performed anything at the school yet?
Not yet.
What year are you in?
I'm a freshman.
You're a freshman. You're a freshman.
You are like, that is a... So you're a rising sophomore, soon to be rising.
Soon to be
rising
sophomore. It's too early for us to do that.
Too early to do our rising. We learned the rising, and we love saying it.
He will be a rising second semester freshman.
Oh, I like that one. We can make the rising go longer.
So are you taking dance classes?
No, but I want to.
Here is our advice to you. This is Nicole and I are going to advise to you, because you've heard the term triple threat.
Mm-hmm.
Very necessary that you do that. So take dance classes and take singing classes along with your acting classes, whether you think you need them or not.
And if you decide you never want to do a musical again and stick with straight plays, you will also find in your movement abilities the grounding that you have from the dance that you did take.
Writing any of that down, but I'm assuming you're taking it.
He looked intently into our eyes and was smiling it.
Exactly. So Nathan, what's your story?
I grew up in Starkville, Mississippi.
Can spell that.
You can?
Yep.
Let's do it. Nope. Go.
M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter I, humpback I.
I think we're one of the few states that every other state learns how to spell our name.
Yeah, you know what? That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it is.
I never thought about
Ohio.
Like that.
And people also use this
Why Ohio?
Why, did I ever leave Ohio? Yeah. What's round on the ends and high in the middle?
Oh!
I like that.
So, you grew up in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Did you do theater in Mississippi?
I did. I did, high school musicals and stuff when I was in high school, of course. Okay. And
he was that guy they stuck on the riverboat. Just went up and down.
Did you play leads? Were you the romantic lead?
Yes. Well, I was Lieutenant Cable when we did South Pacific. If you've ever seen Zombie Prom, I was.
I did.
Eddie
I just
Fulgrante.
Saw a
production.
Like
she just saw production.
Just saw a production.
Right, they
last
did
week.
Did it recently. Yeah, and
who did you play in Zombie Prom?
I was Eddie Fulgrante, so I actually wasn't the lead in that.
Which one is that?
He's the reporter that's trying to get the scoop.
Oh my god, that's the funnest role.
It was. I had a great time. My dad
has the funnest role.
My dad's funny. Like he videotaped most of our shows we did in high school, and he still watches the video of Zombie Prom and will text me lines from.
Did
it,
you do it in drag?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
do
the
it
person
drag.
That did it that I just saw did it in drag.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, RuPaul played Miss Strict in the short film that they did of Zombie Prom. So
I was about to say RuPaul was it. I couldn't remember what.
Okay, so you did your high school musicals. Did you dance?
Yes. And in high school, I didn't hit courses or anything. They just taught me the dances for the shows. And then when I was in college at the University of Mississippi, I actually took dance courses. So.
Okay.
He likes to shake his tail feather.
Well, there you go.
See?
What brought you to Austin, Texas?
I was working in Amarillo at the Texas Musical Drama there. I was actually a violinist for that.
Is it an outdoor musical?
Yeah, it's in the Paladura Canyon.
Wait, you're a violinist. You play instruments too?
I do.
Do you play the flute?
No, I do not flautist.
No flautist.
No flautists. I play violin.
Actually, I love the violin. I think it's just such a gorgeous instrument, and I have so much respect for anybody that can hit those notes without any kind of frets to tell them where to put
crazy.
Their fingers.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
It's just by muscle memory at that point.
Well, it's muscle memory and it's ears. You need to know the tone. You need to know you're playing
and
right.
Definitely, I think that definitely helped me in transitioning to. I sang when I was a child, but certainly my first musical experiences were.
Do you still play?
Yes, I play. Good. I played for some theaters around town occasionally. I played for Patsy Cline at TexArts this past summer. I was
the
fiddle player for that. So,
yay.
I also play guitar, and we actually
have banjos in this current show. So actually all of our cast is playing banjo awesome. For this.
So, so I know I asked you, but I don't know that I heard an answer. And it's possible you did, and I just ignored it. Why did you come to Austin? What brought you here?
Well, I was working in Amarillo, so I was already in the state, and I met a girl there, and we fell in love and decided that
were there violins playing?
It was lady.
And I decided that we wanted to continue seeing one another and needed to move to a city where we could both pursue theater at the same time. So she had a college roommate that was doing a lot of theater with a company here in Austin. And so we decided to come and give it a try.
All right. Your girlfriend is the person that played, what's her name?
Daphne Sillington and Present Laughter for Austin Shakespeare.
And give us her name again?
Karina Browning.
Karina Browning. I did not see the Zach production. When did that happen? Was it just recently?
It was 10 years ago. I should say... We were correct. It was Barbara Chisholm was the wife because I was like, yeah, no, I remember doing that. Meredith was the mistress and the...
Meredith McCall.
Okay. Sorry. And we were trying to figure out who was the secretary. It was Helen Marino.
Secretary. Another Austin Shakespeare regular.
Yeah.
Which their Much Ado opens this Friday and Karina happens to be in that.
I was about to say I was with Karina 2 days ago with her and Gwendolyn.
Doing the morning show. Oh,
that
great.
Was me. With your lady, and you didn't know.
I did not know.
Well, awesome. So have you two performed together ever?
We have, actually pretty frequently. Most recently, we were both in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas at Texarts. So.
I saw that.
We love that.
Dotsie May in that, and I was an Aggie, as well as Mayor Rufus Poindexter and a bunch of other characters.
Yeah, and
so.
You guys, I love that you were switching it up with a little gender breaking there. And Rod
As Jewel was great.
Yeah, so, well, very, very busy doing a theater.
Around the city.
And both young men. So what do you want to do with your, once you graduate, Noah, from Texas State, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. After that final year, when you become a rising senior, what shall you do?
A rising worker.
After your final year, when you're getting ready to become the rising senior.
After your final year, you'd be a rising worker.
Yeah, but I wasn't at the end of the year. In my head, you had to make that decision. Whatever.
So, do you have any plans yet?
I want to stick with theater because I'm enjoying it now. So,
that's good.
I wasn't previously, but now you are. That's good. I am now. I'm probably just making the big move to New York.
New York, there you go. Yeah. Okay, you win. That's the answer we're going for.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. We love us some New York. So good. So what musical, if you could do anything, either of you, what would it be? What role? Musical role?
Any musical role. Recently, I've been really into Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
And what would you, which role?
I would love to play Anatole.
Okay.
Anatole is hot.
Yep. He is hot. Have you seen it?
No, unfortunately, I'm just only familiar with the music.
Beautiful piece.
Great music.
And Noah?
I've also been recently listening to Great Comet. Really good.
Well, Sina, you couldn't play, so you could play Anatole, but you really couldn't play Pierre.
No, not quite.
Yet. There's another Andre.
I was like, why can't I think of the other guy's name? Andre.
Which you also get to play old then too. Both of them.
Yeah. But another musical I've just started listening to recently is You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And so I think I recently did a monologue from Charlie Brown, and I thought that I love
lunchtime is perhaps the worst time of
day
for me.
Yes, that one.
I have been to so many cow colleges.
So what role would you like to play in Charlie Brown? Because you could do Charlie or Linus, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I would say Schroeder. Either Charlie.
What, Charlie?
I would say Charlie.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's good. Fun.
What would you play? You'd play Lucy.
I've never done Charlie Brown.
I'm just saying, you'd play Lucy.
Yeah, but I'm just like, isn't that funny? Yeah. I have all the shows I've done.
You've not done Charlie Brown. You've not done Our Town. Mm-mm. You've not done anything that rhymes with Oun.
And I haven't done Oklahoma because I refuse to. I tried. Listen, that version with Hugh Jackman, I'm like, I tried. I thought Hugh would change me to Oklahoma. I couldn't even get through it. That's why that whole article on so many levels and the Michiganess that happened made me laugh so hard. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, thank you guys for joining us here backstage. I know you got to get off to school.
I got
Stevie. Yeah, nobody wants to do that. I want to see that show.
Pajama Game?
Yes.
No one will do Pajama Game. No one's done The Rink, and no one's done doing The Boyfriend. Those are three great musicals that are perfect for all ages.
We'll get that. Well, thank you guys for coming by. Come and join us again.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Get warm without your hand to hold. The radiator's hissing. Still, I need your kissing to keep me from freezing each night. I got a hot water bottle.